Good morning. Today's daf in Yuma Chaf Hey. We're on Chaf Dalamud Beis. We are towards the bottom of the Amud, about 10 lines from the very bottom. We're going to open up with a question of Lama Mafisim. Why do we do the system via lottery? What system are we describing? So here in the second paragraph of Yuma, so the Dalap HaYosos, the four lotteries that occur every day in the Beis HaMikdash, in order to determine which of the Kohanim are going to be doing the Avodah. So there are going to be four of them. Why four? That's going to be the Gemara's question, which we're going to be starting off with this morning. In order to come to some sort of system of which of the Kohanim are going to be doing the Avodah, because there are more Kohanim than there is Avodah, so you need a system. And that's what we've been discussing now since the beginning of the Perek. Perek takes us back to Chav Beis. And so for the last three daf, we've been introducing ourselves to this idea of the Payasos. Primarily, what we've been discussing now for the last 3 days has been the first Avodah that's done every single day, the Trumas Hadeshen. Trumas Hadeshen, taking a shovel full of ash off of the top of the Mizbech, depositing on the southeast side of the ramp every single morning, a mitzvah min HaTorah. So it's the first Avodah of the day. It occurs really before the day begins. It's pre-dawn. But it is, in fact, the first Avodah, and that is we've been discussing a little bit about the Hutzas Hadeshen, the removal of the remainder of the ash in order to make room for more Kavanos to be burnt on the top of the Mizbeach. And that has been our discussion. We're just going to pick it up right now as the Gemara introduces a new question. Lama Mafisin. So the Gemara says, why do we do a lottery? And the Gemara itself is almost amazed that it's asking that question. Lama Mafisin Kedamaran. Have you been paying attention for the last 3 days? Meaning that's what we've been discussing now since the beginning of this parak. So the Gemara says, Ella, Lama Mafisin Bechozer Mafisin. So the Gemara says, good. So let's clarify the question. The question is, look, we understand that there's a system. We understand the lottery is going to be selecting. But you know, you could just take one lottery, meaning we're doing four separate lotteries. Why are we doing four separate lotteries? And if you're going to suggest we're doing four separate lotteries because we have a lot of decisions to make, that's not a sufficient answer. As we're about to learn in today's daf, as we get to the second lottery, is going to be determining 13 jobs. So it's not for a lack of ability of using a lottery to make more than one job. So once we know that a lottery can be used for 13 jobs, so just do one lottery in order to establish all the work and all the jobs that are going to be accomplished today. Why four separate lotteries? So I'm Rav Yochanan Kedei Lahargish Kol Azara. So Rav Yochanan says, because there's a regish. We want to really feel it. Basically, what the Chachamim want is there wants to be action in the Beis HaMikdash. If there was one lottery, okay, but if there are four lotteries now, four times people are going to get excited in the Beis HaMikdash. And there's action in the Beis HaMikdash, and that's a good thing. Good thing. It's a pasuk in Tehillim Shenemar. The pasuk says, Asher achtav namtik sod, beveis alokim na'alech beragash. So the pasuk in Tehillim says that when we go to Beis Elokim, so we're going to go there beragash. We're going to go there with excitement, and it's going to be thrilling. And I know it sounds like a funny way to describe the Beis HaMikdash, but that's exactly what the pasuk indicates, and that's why the Chachamim instituted four separate lotteries. Good. The Gemara now is going to continue its discussion regarding the lotteries. We're going to go back to the first lottery. We're still in the first Mishnah. And we're going to be talking now about how they're there early in the morning, and they are dressed. Now, are they dressed for work? That's a good question. That's the Gemara's question. So, Bamei Mafisin, now, they're going to get there now. Are they wearing their regular street clothes, however Kohanim normally dress, or are they going to be wearing the Big Day Kahuna? Now, not all of them are going to be working, so some of them are going to be wearing the Big Day Kahuna for no reason. They're all dressed up and they're going to have nowhere to go, or nothing to do, I should say. So, Bamei Mafisin, so Rav Nachman Amar Bibig Dechol, Rav Sheshet Amar Bibig Dekodesh. So Rav Nachman says they're going there in their regular clothing, and if they're selected, so then obviously they're going to make a change. And then Rav Sheshet says, no, Big Dekodesh, they're there ready to work. If they're called on, now they're ready. And if they're not called on, okay, so they'll take off their Big Day Kahuna. Now, I know it seemingly is a really detail-oriented question, but there are competing svaras in terms of which is preferable. The Gemara goes over the competing svaras. Rav Nachman Amar Bibig Dechol Di Amar Bibig Kodesh Ikebal Ezroos Dechamsei Ve'avdei. Where Rav Nachman says, look at our Kohanim, right? Sometimes they could be a little bit rough. And if you're ready, eager is a better word. I like that. So it's positive. It puts a good spin on it. So they could be a little bit eager. And now imagine that our Kohen now is all dressed up and he's not selected. So that Kohen over there, so he's going to be like, you know what? You think I got dressed for no reason? there's a reason why I'm dressed. I'm going to be doing the Avodah. You weren't selected. He's like, okay, I hear you, but I don't hear you. So Rav Nachman says is that, so just to basically make sure that the Kohanim are not that impulsive, so best is that they go not dressed. Now, Rav Sheshet Amar, when I say not dressed, everyone understand. In other words, they're not wearing the Big Day Kodesh. They're wearing the Big Day Chol. Rav Sheshet Amar, the Big Day Kodesh. And Rav Sheshet says, no, they're going to be wearing the Big Day Kodesh. Yamar, the Big Day Chol, Agav Chavavuse, Mikre V'Avde. Because if they are wearing the Big Day Chol, imagine the ones who do get selected. So they're going to be excited. All right, they won a lottery. Right? That's always exciting. So now what are you going to do? You're going to run and do the Avoda. And he's going to forget that he's not dressed yet. It's funny. Both of the svaras are really principled on the fact that the Kohanim may make impulsive decisions. Okay, it's just a question of which impulsivity are we more worried about? Are we more concerned about? So Am Rav Nachman Menamin Allah Didnan. So Rav Nachman says, okay, good. So we have the svaras out there now in terms of whether the Kohanim should be dressed for and ready to work or not dressed in the Big Day Kodesh, but rather come in Big Day Chol. So we have the svaras now. And so now the Gemara is going to go over the classic back and forth. What does the Mishnah teach us? What do the Brises teach us? So did not. So we're going to turn to a Mishnah in Tamid, fifth parak of Tamid. Masrum lechazanim. So we hand them over to the chazanim, meaning the Kohanim are about to do the work, to do the avoda. The chazanim, of course, are basically the shamashim, right? They're the gabayim, right? Back in the Mishnah, we've seen a number of examples of this. So they're called the chazan, right? Not the way you and I use the word chazan. Masrum lechazanim vayumafshita nosan is big dam that they would take off their clothing v'loyumenichim aleim elamechnasayim bavad, leaving only their pants on alone. Okay, basically we know the Mishnah here is describing a change of garments. That part we get. What's unclear, however, is what were they previously dressed as and what are they now currently dressed as. So my love va'osan shazach lefayas. Now it's also unclear who they're changing. Are they changing the winners of the lottery or are they changing the losers of the lottery? So that part of the Mishnah is not clear in time. And so the Gemara now, as you can imagine, the Gemara now is going to make a suggestion. The Gemara is going to make a second suggestion. One suggestion, my love, we are on the very top of Chafei Amad Aleph. Ba'osan Shezach Lefayah. So maybe we're talking about the winners of the lottery. And if we're talking about the winners of the lottery, so good. So what does that seem to indicate? What that seems to indicate now is that they were wearing the Big Day Chol and now they're being changed into the Big Day Kodesh. So I'm Rav Huna Bar Yehuda. I'm Rav Sheshes Lo Bosan Shelo Zach Lefai. So the Gemara says no, that's not who we're talking about. We're talking about the losers of the lottery. We're talking about the losers of the lottery. So and that means to say that the losers of the lottery, meaning now we're arguing that everyone was wearing the Big Day Kodesh and now the losers of the lottery have to disrobe. Now, as we're gonna be sensitive to the fact that they're right now currently in the Azara, and they're never gonna be totally unclothed. That's totally inappropriate as a position to be in the Azara. But nevertheless, though, we are just shifting the Mishnah and Talmud not to the winners, but rather to the losers. So the Gemara says, Hachinami Mistabi. The Gemara says, I'll tell you what. It's a better pshat in the Mishnah and Talmud. Why? Because let's for a moment go back to your first pshat, which is that we're talking about the winners of the lottery. So So the Gemara says, okay, so for the winners of the lottery, we're suggesting that just pants alone. Tanya. So the Gemara says, now wait one second. And at this juncture, here's what the Gemara is thinking. And Rashi really sets it up. Look at the Rashi. Second Rashi on the Amud. They're taking off their weekday clothing. And they're going to obviously put on the Big Day Kahuna. And now what we're going to do is we're going to leave on the pants, meaning his weekday pants. Because, again, what you can't do is you can't put him in a position where he's totally disrobed. I'm just finishing up the Rashi. And basically, here's how we're looking at the change. We're basically trying to change him into his Big Day Kodesh. He doesn't have a locker room. So, at the same time, never put him in a position where he's unclothed. So basically, here's how the Gemara is envisioning it. He's going to be, he's wearing his weekday clothing, puts on all the Big Day Kodesh except for his pants. In other words, his weekday pants he keeps on. Then what he's going to do is that after the clothing is all on, and there's a tunic now, basically from head to toe, like literally, Now what he could do is take off his weekday pants and put on his big day Kurdish pants, and that's it. A full change of wardrobe, and he never had to be unclothed. That's right now the Gemara is thinking. The Gemara says, okay, that all would have been fine and good, but that's a violation of order. In other words, when putting on the big day Kodesh, there is a specific order. Well, at least one of the clothing is up for a specific order, and that's the pants. The Hatanya. This is now a second time here in the second perek that we're learning this Braisa. The Pasuk in Acharei Mos tells us that the first article of clothing that a Kohen must put on are his pants. So that means to say that although we did a great job successfully changing his wardrobe from his big day chol to big day kodesh, but then what we did is we violated the rule that the pants have to go on first. V'ida chalokasha hachi ketani. So now if you still want to insist that we're talking about the winners of the lottery, so he says, I think it's fine. So basically what you'll do is you'll put on the pants first. Meaning he'll take off his weekday pants, he'll put on the Michnasei Kodesh first, and then you go through the rest of the change. That's how you learn the Mishnah. Okay. So basically where we're at right now is that the Mishnah would really, you can learn the Mishnah either way. The Mishnah could be understood as that the changing is going to be for the winners or the changing could be for the losers, and it just depends on whether you are Rav Nachman or whether you're Rav Sheshes. So if you're Rav Nachman and you're talking about where they come in weekday clothes, so the changing that's described in the Mishnah and Talmud is talking about the winners. And if you're Rav Sheshes, who says that everyone's coming in their big day Kodesh, so the Mishnah and Talmud that describes the wardrobe change is talking about the losers. Okay, fine. So the Mishnah and Talmud is really not going to be a good source in terms of whether we're starting with Rav Nachman or we're going to start with Rav Sheshes. So I'm Rav Sheshes Manamin Allah Detanya. So Rav Sheshes is fine. Rav Sheshes is of the position that each of the Kohanim are going to be wearing the big day Kodesh when coming in to for the lottery. So he says, look, I have a Braisa. Detanya, we learned in the following Braisa. Lishkas Agazis, Kemen Basilika Gadola, Haisa. So the Lishkas Agazis. So if you have a picture of the Azara, so look for the Lishkas Agazis. You're going to find it somewhere in the northeast corner of the Azara. So some were situated partly inside the Azara, partly outside the Azara. So over here, this Braisa, it's a Tosefta. So it's going to be given a description of Lishkas Agazis. We know that's where the Sanhedrin sits, the Sanhedrin Agadola. So Lishkas Agazis come in Basilika Agadola Haisa, Haisa Pius B'Mizracha. So this is where the lottery occurred, meaning up until this point in time, here in our Mishnayos, so funny, we have an entire parak dedicated to the pious, and in our parak, there is no indication exactly where the pious takes place. Okay, good, but now supplemented with this Braisa, so we have a much better idea of where the pious takes place, notably in the Lishkas Agazis, which again, partly inside, partly outside the Azara. And so now the Kohanim themselves would be standing in the east side of the Lishkas Agazis. V'zaken Yoshev b'ma'arava. And there's an elder over there, he's sitting in the west side. And the Kohanim would be standing there in a circle. Gemara over here is describing some sort of kli that looks like a circle. But anyway, they're standing in a circular position. And here comes the mamuna. The officer going to be taking a hat off of one of them. Which one? So Rashi, in the beginning of the parak, said it's random. In other words, we just have to start somewhere. So we take the hat off of one of them. V'yodim shemimenu pais maschal, and that's where the counting is going to begin. And again, going back to the Rashi, in the beginning of the parak, you choose an exceedingly large number, it doesn't matter what the number is, and you just start counting around the circle, starting from the guy who took off his hat, from the Kohen, I should say, who took off his hat, and then you just simply count, and wherever you land on, that's going to be the winner of the pious. Okay. Now, how does all this inform us of how they were dressed? So the Gemara now is going to construct the argument. Rav Sheshes is going to construct the argument. So the Gemara says, now, let's imagine. They're coming in their big day chol. It's impossible to imagine. Because remember, what do? We take the mitznefes off of one of them. If we're taking the mitznefes off of one of them, that seems pretty clear that they're coming in their big day kodesh. So the Gemara says, in. So the Gemara now is going to argue, you know what? It doesn't necessarily have to be the big day Kodesh. Now, again, this is going to be a difficult argument. The Brisa seems pretty clear that they're wearing their mitznefes, which are the hats of the Kohanim. So it's going to be a tough argument, but the Gemara is going to argue. The Gemara says, "Kedinib Rav Yehuda v'itemer Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda koin she'asa lo imo ketones oved ba avodas yachid." Let's say you have a Kohen where his mother made for him a ketones. Okay, now the ketones, the clothing, the begundim of the Kohen in general. So you would imagine that it comes from public money. However, the mothers are so proud of their sons who are the Kohanim. Right, it's a great image. I love it. So what they do is that, as an indication of their pride, how proud they are that the Kohanim are in the Beis HaMikdash doing the Avoda. So sometimes what the mothers do is that they make begadim for their sons. Now, is it official? Is it official clothing? Does it work? So it's not totally clear in the Braisa. The Braisa says they could do Avodas Yachid. Individual avodas. Okay, in a little bit from now, so we're going to clarify exactly what they could do, which avodas they can do with the homemade, literally the homemade begadim that they're wearing. The point is that there is a possibility that they're wearing big de kahuna, but it's not standard issue. It's not standard issue begadim. Okay, again, it is admittedly a difficult argument, but you could say it that way. And again, the Braisa, therefore, is not going to be proof positive that Rav Sheshes is correct. A detail over here that Tosfos picks up on, you can see the second Tosfos on the Amud, is that we are talking about the hat of the Kohen, and we say it's called the Mitznefes. And Tosfos over here, it's a detail, but it's obviously important. The Tosfos over here says the Kohen Gadol wears a Mitznefes. Do you know what the Kohen Hedget wears? So he also wears a hat, but it's called the Mikbas. At least that's the way the Torah describes it. So over here, it's a little bit unusual that we're talking about a mitznefes. And meanwhile, obviously over here, we're not talking about the Kohen Gadol. We're talking about all the Kohanim who are forming a circle. They're obviously Kohen Hedyot, so why is it called the mitznefes? Okay, see Tosfos over here in terms of that detail. But anyway, Amar Abai Shema Minalish Katzagaz is Chetzi Bekosh VeChetzi Bechol. Okay, so now, good. We're pretty much done. Meaning, Rav Sheshes, Rav Nachman, how are they dressed to come to the lottery? It's a machlokas. Right, Rav Nachman says weekday clothing, Rav Sheshet says big day kodesh, and we have Bryce's indicating each of the positions. The Gemara is going to spend just another minute on the Lishka Sagazis. Because what do we see? Amar Abai Shmamin Alishka Sagazis Chetze Bekosh Chetze Bechol. So what we see is that the Lishka Sagazis is partly in the Azara, partly outside the Azara. So Ushmamin, and how do we see that? The Gemara is going to spell it out, so we can just read on. Ushmamin Ashnei Psachim Hayulach Pasuch Bekosh Vechet Pasuch Bechol. And as far as the entrances and exits of the Lishka Sagazis, one goes into the Azar, one goes into the Harabayas. There are two separate ways of coming in. And the Gemara says, the Isa Kadachu Kula Bekodesh. So the Gemara says, okay, now let's make the argument. The first argument is that Kula Bekodesh, the whole thing's in the Azara. Well, that's impossible. Zakin Yoshib Amarava, because in the Brisa that we just quoted, so it was describing the Zakin sitting in the west side of the Lishka Sagazis. Now, if the Lishka Sagazis is considered status-wise being part and parcel of the Azara, you can't sit in the Azara. Nobody can sit in the Azara, with one notable exception. The king can sit in the Azara, but that's it. That's the only one who can sit in the Azara. No one else is allowed to sit in the Azara. And the Braisa describing the Zakin sitting in the Lishka Sagazis, obviously Lishka Sagazis cannot be totally in the Azara. Otherwise, the Zakin wouldn't be allowed to sit. The Isa Kadachu Kula Bechol. So the Gemara says, now, you want to tell me now that the entire Lishka Sagazis is in the Azara? That's also impossible. Why? Because Pius B'Mizracha, let's go the other direction. You want to tell me that the entire Lishka Sagazis is part of the Harabayas, meaning not the Azara, but rather the Harabayas. That's what's called Chol. Chol over here, by the way, obviously we're talking relatively speaking. Meaning we're just contrasting the Azara to the Harabayis. So Azara is Kodesh and Harabayis is Chol. You want to tell me that the entire Lishka Sagazis is Harabayis? So the Gemara says, that can't be. Pais b'mizracha, v'habi'ina b'beis alukim, na'alech b'ragesh. The lottery has to be done in the Azara. How do we know that? So we go back to the pasuk that we start off the daf with. Why four payasos? That was our opening question of today's daf. And the answer is because we want activity in Beis Elokim. That's the pasuk in Tehillim. So Beis Elokim is a reference to the Azara. So that means that the pious has to take place in the Azara. So what comes out of the Veleka? Elishmamina, I'll just read on. Elishmamina, chetzi bekarosh vechetzi bechol. Half the lishkas agosis in kosher and half the lishkas agosis in chol. Okay, now. Isak adatcha, one more point over here. Pesach echad yeshla, upasuch lekodesh. Now you want to tell me that there's one entrance and it's open to the Azara, so then Zakin Yoshi b'marav avatanan. Ha lishakos ha benuyus b'chol apsuchos lekodesh shochen kodesh. So we know that entrance establishes the status of a room. Even if the room physically is outside the Azara, however, the entrance is in to the Harabais, so then the status is the Harabais. Conversely, if the building itself, if the room itself is out in Harabais, but the entrance is into the Azara, so then the status of the room is the Azara. The Isak adacha pasuch l'chol pais b'mizrach v'atanam, benuus b'kosh, pasuch l'chol, tochen chol. El alav sh'mamina shnei pesachim hayula, echa pasuch b'kodesh, ve'echa pasuch l'chol. So, when all said and done, the Gemara just says, okay, so by the Lishkas Agazis, so it is a hybrid. Not exactly a hybrid. It's not a great way to describe it. It's segregated. The room itself is segmented, where part of the room is Azara status, part of the room is Harabai status. The part that is Azara status has the opening going into the Azara. The part of the room that is Harabai status has an exit, an entrance going into the Harabais. And so therefore now, as we describe the Zakin sitting, so he's sitting in the Harabai section of the Lishkas Agazis. When we're describing where the Kohanim who are actually participating in the Pai is standing, so they're in the Azara section of the Lishkas Agazis. It does sound a little bit strange, by the way, if I'm picturing this correctly, and if you have a picture, so then you'll do a better job than me. But if I'm picturing this correctly, so the Kodesh section is the east part of the Lishkas Agazis, which is a little bit strange. It's the part that's further away from the actual Heichal. And the Harabai section of the Lishkas Agazis is in the western side of the Lishkas Agazis, and that's a little bit closer to the Heichal, but it doesn't really bother me because, again, as we just learned, everything is really dictated by entrances and exits. So the west side must have an entrance and exit to the Harabais, and the east side must have an entrance and exit to the Azara. Okay. Segregation in the Lishkas Agazis.
It didn't have a wall, right in between.
I was thinking about it. Doesn't sound that way. Okay. Before we start with the next Mishnah, so the Tosfos over here, really fundamental. Just, it asked such a basic question. You could have asked it in a number of places, but he asks it over here because the topic of sitting in the Azara has just come up. So sitting in the Azara, so fundamentally you can't do it. The exception is given to the king, but outside of that, so you can't do it. So Tosfos over here wonders. Tosfos, it's the third Tosfos on the Amud. Tema, the Amar beperek beisus vachim uma Yosef sheochel im avar chilal. So without getting into the discussion over there in the Gemara, so the Gemara over there is describing that when the Kohanim are eating their karbanos, so they're going to be eating in a sitting position, right? Like dignified people eat. So wait one second. Where are they eating the karbanos? They're eating most of the karbanos that are eaten inside the Azara. So the Kohanim now are sitting in the Azara eating. Haven't we just learned that you're not allowed to sit in the Azara? It's a simple question. Ve'hechi achel v'ha'ein yeshiva ba'azara. So how are the Kohanim eating the karbanos in the Azara in a sitting position, which is the indication of the Gemara in Zvachim? And meanwhile, our Gemara says definitively and seemingly fundamentally that no one's allowed to sit in the Azara. Okay. Three answers in Tosfos over here to this question. And I will just simply summarize. First answer of Tosfos is that maybe the karbanos that we're talking about is kachim kalim that could be eaten anywhere in the environment of Yerushalayim. And so maybe that's what the Gemara is describing over there, the consumption of kachim kalim. A little bit difficult because we're talking about Kohanim. And okay, but anyway, that's one answer. Second answer of Tosfos. He quotes it in the name of the Rebar Avraham. So even though our Gemara says that you're not allowed to sit in the Azara, so don't read our Gemara so fundamentally. Yeah, in other words, under normal circumstances, you're not allowed to sit in the Azara. But if you're going and you're eating, so that's right, that's Avoda. So Achila Tzorech Avodahi. I'm quoting an excerpt of the Tosfos. Achila Tzorech Avodahi. That when the Kohanim are eating karbanos, that's part and parcel of the Avoda. The Pasuk says, V'achlu Osam Asher Kupar Bahem. So it's pretty clear in the Torah that when the Kohanim are eating a chatas and an asham, that's part and parcel of the avoda. Since that's part and parcel of the avoda, so then they're allowed to sit for those occasions. And then there's a third answer in Tosfos, and it's not as strong as the second answer in terms of eating is avoda. Okay, because the pasuk does seem to indicate that, but in other words, it's not really avoda in the classic way that we normally describe it. The third possible answer of Tosfos is that we know that when the Kohanim eat karbanos, they have to eat it limashcha. And as the Gemara darshans numerous times, what does that mean, limashcha? It means legdula kederch sham malachim ochlim. They have to eat the food in the regal manner. Now, v'hainu miyushav. Now, if you're eating like a mensch, right? I know I sound like a father right now, but if you're eating like a mensch, so how do you eat? Seated. You're not going to eat standing. Okay, I violate my own rules. Okay, so, but the...
only a horse eats.
Okay, yeah. you've been at it longer than I have. So the, fine. So that's a third possible suggestion of Tosha, so good. So Kohanim are sitting in the Azar and eating. So, yes. Well, the first answer of Tosos stays with the no. But the second two answers of Tosos is yes. And just and possible explanations of how that could be. Okay. We're on Chafei Amud Aleph. We're at the Mishnah towards the bottom of the Amud. And here we are in our second lottery. The second parak of the Masechta is dedicated to the topic of describing the four lotteries that normally occur in the Beis HaMikdash on a daily basis. Again, as long as we're starting a new Mishnah, just a reminder, the major machlokas between the early Rishonim, the Baal Mor and the Ramban, are we also describing Yom Kippur itself? So the Baal Mor says no. The Baal Mor says no. This parak over here is describing every day of the year except for Yom Kippur, which we already point this out. I know I'm reviewing this, but it's good information to review. So it comes out really strange according to the Baal Mor, meaning that this parak in Yuma, the second parak of Yuma, is... the antithesis to Yom Kippurim, meaning Yom Kippur, we're not going to have a lottery because the Kohen Gadol is going to be doing everything. So it's funny that this parak over here lands in Yuma when, according to the Baal Mor, has nothing to do with Yuma. That point brings the Ramban to his conclusion, which is that can't be. The Rabbi Yehuda Anasi decides to put this parak in Yuma, and it has nothing to do with Yuma, and has nothing to do with Yom Kippur. That's impossible. So the Ramban says it's not true. The pious was done even on Yom Kippur itself. Yes, most of the avodas were done by the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, but not every avoda. And the Trumas Hadeshen is not done by the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, according to the Ramban. Okay, so it's a basic machlokas in terms of whether this parak applies on Yom Kippur. We start with the Mishnah. Ha'payis Hasheni. We're now up to the second lottery of the day. Now over here, again, we're talking about a standard day, and so the standard avoda that's going to be done is the Karban Tamid. So the Karban Tamid is going to have how many participants? We're going to learn in our Mishnah. 13 participants of the Karban Tamid, and I'm going to keep a running count as we go through the Mishnah. So Mishochet is going to be doing the Shechita, that's one. Number two, Mizorik, which Cohen's going to be doing the Zrika. Number three, Mimidashem is Be'ach HaPnimi. A job requiring the cleaning out of the inner mizbeach. Number four, mi medashen es menorah, umi ma'ala evarim lekevesh. So who's going to be doing dishon ha-menorah, and who's going to be, mi medashen es menorah, put a comma there. That's number four. Next, mi ma'ala evarim lekevesh, moving the evarim to the kevesh. Now over here, so this is going to be subdivided to a number of jobs, meaning we're moving the limbs of the cut-up carbon tamid over to the ramp. And that is one coin. It's our fifth coin in the lottery. The Harosh V'Harego is going to be holding the head and the back right leg. That's number five. Number six, Shtei Hayadayim. The two front legs, right? In other words, by the way, the one coin, the head is one hand and the back right leg is in the other hand. And the next Kohen is going to be holding the two front legs in his two hands, right? That's the assumption over here. Number seven, Ha'okitz V'Harego, the rump and the back left leg. Number eight, Ha'chazeh V'Hagera, the chest of the animal, and the one of the stomachs of the animal. The Ushtei Ha'defanos, that's number nine now. The Kohen who's going to be bringing the two flanken of the animal. Number ten, Akirbayim, the one who's bringing the intestines. He's bringing it up in a bowl. So number 11, the Soles flower. Number 12, the Chavitin, the Minchas Chavitin of the Kohen Gadol. Okay, again, the Kohen Gadol himself could bring it up, but typically it's brought up by the other Kohanim. Chavitim was number 12, and number 13 is Hayayin, the one bringing up the wine, of course, for the Nesachim. And then the Mishnah tells us, Shlosha Asar Kohanim Zachubo, so that with 13 Kohanim in total, so Amar Ben Azai, Lefnei Rabbi Akiva, Mishum Rabbi Yeshua, Derechi Lucho, Ayakrav. And Ben Azai says, in front of Rabbi Akiva, in the name of Rabbi Yeshua, then no, the order of the parts of the animal that go up is going to be the same order in which the animal walks. Meaning, basically, the animal walks head to toe. So over here, in terms of segmenting the animal and bringing up the parts of the animal up onto the ramp, and ultimately, of course, up onto the Mizbeach, so it's going to be in the order of the animal, going from head to toe. Okay, so Machlokis in the Tanaim, exactly what the order is going to be. Okay, what comes out over here from the Mishnah is that in the second lottery, we're going to have 13 winners of the second lottery. So Ibayelu, Kishem Mafisin, La'avoda Achas Mafisin, Odim, L'chol Avoda V'avoda, Hei Mafisin. So the Gemara says, now, you're going to have 13 winners. Does that mean over here that we're having 13 separate lotteries? Or is it one lottery, which is the second lottery, and in the second lottery, we're going to be selecting now 13 winners of the second lottery. So Tashma. So the Gemara says, I think the answer is pretty clear. Because Arba Payasas Ayusham. Meaning, just go back to the beginning of the Mishnah. The opening Mishnah of this parak says that there are four lotteries in total. Isa Gedach L'chol Avoda Hei Mefaisin Tu V'Ahava. Now, if you're telling me that we're going to be determining our 13 winners in 13 lotteries, so that's well in excess of four. The Gemara says, I can't imagine. So Amar Rav Nach, Mar Yitzchak, Hachi Kamar, Arba Pamim, Nechnasim Lafis, Ulcho Chada V'Chada, Hayuba Tuva Payasos. So Rav Nach, Mar Yitzchak says, no, you know what? It could be that there are going to be 13 separate lotteries. The opening Mishnah says there are four. There are four times where we convene. So the convention of the Kohanim in the Lishka Sagazim occurs four times. But in each convention, so you can have more than one lottery. That's a possible way to read the Mishnah. Okay. Tashma. The Gemara is still going to stay on this question as we now turn to the Amud Beis. Tashma, the Gemara says, how about the following? Rav Yehuda Omer lo haya payas lamachtam. Elekonsha zacha bektoris Omer lezeh she'imo zacha imi b'machtam. The avoda of the mechate. Now, what's his job? His job is going to be, this is in the third pious, which is coming up later in this perek. The mechate is going to be taking coals off of the mizbeach achitzon. He's going to be walking together with the winner of the third lottery, and he's going to be the one who's going to be burning the guitarist. Remember, the burning of the guitarist, from the Kohanim's perspective, that was the most exciting avoda. Promises the one who does this particular avoda, so he's going to become wealthy. No one ever repeated the burning of the guitarist. Only new people who never had an opportunity to do the guitarist or the Kohanim are going to be eligible to become part of the lottery of the guitarist. So the winner of the guitarist now is going to take a wingman with him. That wingman is going to be bringing the coals. Okay. I just imagine, by the way, the one bringing the coals thinking to himself, like, I won, but I really didn't. Okay. So with his wingman, he's going to bring the coals. And the Mishnah tells us, this Mishnah is coming up in tomorrow's daf, and the Mishnah tells us that you're not going to make a separate lottery for the mechateh. In other words, the one who won the guitarist is just simply going to tap the guy on his right and say, okay, you're coming with me. Okay, good. Good. So Rabbi Yehuda Amar Lohaya Pais LaMechateh LaKohen SheZacha B'Ktoros Amar LaZeh SheImo Zachim B'Mechateh. So fine. So Shani Mechateh Ktoros Techad Avodi. So the Gemara says, okay, but that doesn't prove anything. All that's telling me is that by the guitarist, so you don't have a separate lottery for the Mechateh. And the Gemara says, and I'll tell you a distinction to be made. Obviously, in order to burn the guitarist, you need the coals. So over there, it's one lottery because it's really one avoda. But over here, you have a lot of different jobs. So it could still very well be that you had separate lotteries for each of the jobs mentioned in our Mishnah. Okay, the Gemara says, Zika Darmi now in a slightly different version of how this discussion went. Davka mechakete ukitaros dechad avodihi. Aval shara avodas by pius. So the Gemara says, now, over here what we could argue is that the davka by the mechate is it one lottery because it's really one avoda, but all other times are you going to have separate lotteries. Meaning, in the Sika D'Amre, the Gemara spells out that you really can now make a diyuk, a deduction, If by the Ketoros Mechateh, you're doing one lottery, all other times you're making multiple lotteries. So the Gemara says, no, you're always going to do one lottery each time, each of the four times. This is really uncommon, meaning, remember, for a Kohen, it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. So what happens is that the Kohen who does it is going to be assured a certain amount of wealth. Again, that's coming up in tomorrow's daf. So nitkin le'payas bifne atzma. So I might have thought that, you know what, maybe it should in fact deserve its own pious. That's what I might have thought. So kamash malan. The chiddush is no. That, in other words, that for the mechate, it's not going to, he's going to be subsumed under the pious of the Ketoros, of the winner of the Ketoros. But that's only because I might have thought that the Ketoros is such an unbelievable winner, if you will. So I might have thought that maybe we would have just made for him his separate very own pious. That's the Havamina. Okay. Anyway, what comes out over here is there a pious for each one of the 13 jobs in our Mishnah? Or no, is there one winner? And then just simply take the next 12 guys that are next to him and bring them in. The Gemara back and forth on this issue. Gemara left the question unresolved. It's so funny. I'm speaking as if the discussion is over. It's not over. Okay? Spoke too soon. Tashma. So the Gemara says, okay, so let's do this one more round. Boy, did I speak too soon. The Gemara quotes the Brisa, and the Brisa says it's one lottery, and then the winner, what you're going to do now is just basically 12 guys to his right. Again, not guys. 12 Kohanim to his right, and they're going to go together with him. Okay, so it's one lottery. In other words, the Gemara went back and forth, but the conclusion is that it is but one lottery. Okay, Adkan. We are now up to the next section of the Gemara. Pais Hashem v'chuli b'ayluhu mimekaba. Okay, there is a conspicuous absence in the Mishnah of the Avoda. Okay, we're looking now about who's going to be doing all the Avodas of the Karban Tamid. Okay, if you go back to the Mishnah, read the Mishnah carefully, so you will notice. So we're talking about the Kohen doing the Shechita of the Karban Tamid. We then went on to who's going to be doing the Zrika. Now, there are two steps in the middle. And we're going to consolidate it to one in terms of just winners of the pious. But there is obviously a conspicuous absence in the Mishnah of the Kabbalah Saddam. Kabbalah Saddam is an avoda in the base of Mikdash. During Kabbalah Saddam, it's obviously you need a Kohen who's dressed in his big dikahuna. It's an avoda. I could belabor the point, but it's an avoda. And why in the Mishnah is there not a winner of the Mikabah? Now the answer is pretty obvious. The answer is that because either the Shochet's going to be doing the Kabbalah or the Zorik is going to be doing the Kabbalah. That's the answer. Okay, but those are two possible answers. So being that those are two possible answers, so the Gemara's question is going to be really simple. Who's doing the Kabbalah? My options are either the Shochet or the Zorik. Good. That's the question. Here comes the discussion. So the Gemara goes, Ibailu mi mekabo, shochet mekabo, di'i amar zorik mekabo. Let's imagine for a moment that we're going to be asking the zorik to also be my mekabo, which, by the way, in other words, if I had an opinion, which I don't, but if I had an opinion, that makes the most sense. Meaning, he's the one who's going to be taking the bowl to the Mizbeach and sprinkling onto the Mizbeach. It really does make the most sense that he should be doing the Kabbalah, but the Gemara now is going to argue in the other direction. So, Iyamar Zorik Mekabal, Agav Chavivusei Lo Mekabalei Lekulei Adam. Second time today we're describing the eagerness of the Kohen, right? The Kohen already has now collected a certain amount of the Dam. And he's thinking to himself, I got to do Zrika. And he starts running with the bowl. And the Shochet's like, wait, hold it. There's still more blood coming out. Just wait a second. So that's one reason why we should have the Shochet doing the Kabbalah Saddam, which, by the way, it's just difficult. Right? It's difficult. In other words, you're shechting the animal, the blood's coming out immediately after you open up the major arteries over there, and now you gotta then quickly grab a bowl and collect it. So the Gemara acknowledges it later in our Masechta. That's a difficult, display of dexterity, but okay. That's the, Odilma Zorik Mekabal, Di Amar Shochem Mekabal Zimnun Deshachizar. So the Gemara says, well, look, on the other hand, I could also make an argument that the Zerg should be Mekabah. Why? Because if we allow the Shochet to do the Kabbalah, well, sometimes who's going to be doing the Shechita? Non-Kohen. Now, we've gone over this numerous times throughout Shas, Shechita Kasher Bazar. A non-Kohen could do the Shechita. And so, now here we're describing the Karban Tamid. It's going to be really unlikely that you're going to have a Zar in the base of Mikdash doing the Shechita. Although he could, but first of all, we're talking about the early morning. We're talking about basically all the Kohanim convening in the Lishkas Agazis. Like, I'm just acknowledging, it's really unusual. But it could happen, and if the Tsar is going to be doing the Shechita, and then immediately you're going to ask him to do the Kabbalah, well, that's out of the question. Shechita is Kasher Bazar, but any activity after that is Avoda, and you can't have a Tsar do it. So, okay, so that would be the argument to say that the Shochet should be the one, Shochet should do the Kabbalah. Okay, so That should be the one that the Zurich should do, but it should be the Mekabel. So Tashma. So the Gemara says, okay. So, let's see. And that is Ben Ketina. So Yud Beis, Dad, Likura Kadesha, Yud Beis Achava Koronim, Auskim Batamid, Mekachin Yedem, Veraglem, Bevasachas. Okay, so the institution of Ben Ketin. So the institution of Ben Ketin, which we're going to learn later in our Masechta, a couple weeks from now. And that is that he there's a kiyor in the base of Mikdash so that the Kohanim could wash their hands and feet every day before doing the Avodah. That's Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim. Obviously, also the Kohen Gadol is going to be doing it 10 times on Yom Kippur. So what Ben Ketin did is that somehow he engineered that the kiyor would have 12 spouts coming out of it, so that 12 Kohanim are going to be doing the Karban Tamid on a daily basis, so they can do they can go to the kiyor and wash the Yadayim V'Raglayim all at the same time. Okay. Instead of having the Kohanim wait in line. Good. So an engineering feat by Ben Ketin. Now, Isa Kadacha Shochet Mekabel. So the Gemara says, now, who's going to be doing the Kabbalah? So if you're going to be telling me that the Shochet's going to be doing the Kabbalah, so what is that just introduced? That just introduced us the 13th Kohen. So Tlei Sarhave, that would be 13 Kohanim. Meaning, if the Zorik was the one who was doing the Kabbalah, so he's already washing his hands for the Zrika. So, in other words, his hands is now washed for the Kabbalah. And the Shochet, again, the Shochet does not have to be a Kohen. He doesn't have to do Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim. So, Elalav Shmamina, Zorik Mekabel Shmamina. So the Gemara says, okay, the Zorik is going to be doing the Kabbalah. Amalei Rav Acha Breid Rav Rav Ashi Afan Nami Tanina. And he says, good, and I would like to bring a mission that supports this as well. Shachar HaShochet V'Kibbal HaMekabel Uvalo Lizrok Shema Mina. Okay, we're reading a Mishnah Tamid, and the Mishnah Tamid is pretty clear. The Shochet is going to do the act of Shechita, and then the Mekabel, somebody else is going to be receiving the blood, and Uvalo, and he's going to go do the Zrika. Okay, so it's pretty clear now that the one doing the Zrika is also going to be the one doing the Kabbalah Sadam. Okay. Last part of today's daf. We're now going to run through the order of the animals after the Karban Tamid. The Karban Tamid is shechted, blood is sprinkled on the Mizbeach. The animal itself is taken to be flayed and to be cut into pieces. And then it's going to be brought up onto the ramp and ultimately brought up onto the Mizbeach to be burnt on the Mizbeach. As per any Karban Ola, but here we happen to be describing the Karban Tamid. We're talking now about the order of the parts of the animal as they are ascending up to the ramp. So we know that we basically have a parade of Kohanim, each one of them holding two parts of the animal, going up the ramp. What is the order of the Kohanim holding which parts of the animal? So in our mission, we already know it's a machlokis, and so the Gemara now is just going to elaborate on it a little bit. Amar ben Azal lefnei Rabbi Akiva tan Rabban Ketzad Haya Hilucho. So Gemara quotes the Braisa. What are they going to be the order of the parts of the Karban Tamid ascending the ramp, basically being held by the Kohanim. So we have, remember, we're basically going to have 10 parts of the animal, 5 Kohanim, right? Each one having two hands. So Kohen number one is Arosh V'Aregel, the head and the back right leg. Number two, Achazav V'Agera, the chest of the animal. Number three, Shtei Hayadayim, two front legs. Number four, Shtei Defanos, the flanken. And number five, Ha'ukitz the haregel. It's going to be the rump and the back left leg. Rabbi Yossi Amar Derech Hefsheto Hayakrav. Rabbi Yossi says, no, The way it's going to be flayed, that's the way it's going to be brought up. The animal, when flayed, so it's going to be strung up by its legs, by its back legs, and it's going to be flayed from the legs going towards the head. So the derech hefsheto hayukrav keta derech hefsheto harosh v'aregel, where you're going to start with the head. Now, it's funny, by the way, we just said derech hefsheto and we start with the head. So as we're going to learn, just a moment, you always start with the head. Meaning the, right, it's, I don't mean this, but I kind of do. That's why it's called the head. Okay. It's not a brilliant explanation, but anyway, you always start with the head. So harosh v'aregel, ha'ukitz v'aregel, now the rump and the other left, and the other back leg. The two flanken, the two front legs, then the chest of the animal. Okay. So that's another opinion of how they ascend. A third opinion, Rabbi Kiva Amar Derech Nituchot, the way it's cut up, Hayakrav. Ketza Derech Nituchot, how is it cut up? So if it happens to be that if you and I were working in the shlock house, so we would know this a lot better. So, but anyway, Harosh V'Aregel, again, they start with the head together with the back right leg. That's number one. Number two, Shteya Adayim, the two front legs. And number three, Achazav V'Agera, the chest. Number four, Shtey Defanus, the two flanken. And finally, number five, Ha'ukitz V'Aregel, the rump and the back left leg. And Rabbi Yose Aglili Amar Derech Ilu Yav Hayakrav. No, you bring it up based on quality. Okay, the superior the quality, the more it is advanced in the line. This is now the fourth opinion in this brisa. Amazing how many opinions are there on this particular issue. So Keta Hayaderech Ilu Yav. So Arosh V'Aregel. Once again, you start with the head, with the back right leg. Hachazev Agera. Then we're at the chest. The Shtey Defanos, then the two flanken. And Ha'ukitz V'Aregel, the rump and the back left leg. And Shtey Adayim, and the two front legs. Two front legs, right? They qualitatively wise. So now, in terms of the gears of the Gemara over here. So the Bach spends a little bit of time over here reorganizing the upcoming Gemara. So what I'll do is I'll follow the Bach. I'm gonna skip the next line, but we're gonna reintroduce it back in just a moment. So Amar Rava, so skip a line. Amar Rava bein Tana didam bein Rabbi Yosi baser iluya debisa azlinan. So our Tana and Rabbi Yosi is basically following the quality, meaning that when you go back to our Mishnah. So here's what I didn't do when I read the Mishnah. I didn't give any hesber, meaning, but there is a sheet of Benazir in our Mishnah, but there's a hesber. Benazir says you follow the path of the animal from head to toe. But the Tanakam in our Mishnah, so there was no Hezber for the Tanakam of our Mishnah. So now the Gemara says that, yeah, so I'll give you the Svara for the Tanakam of our Mishnah, and that's going to be quality. He also thinks it's a function of quality. Mar Azabasar Evar Debisra, Mar Azabasar Shmena Debisra. So, and in terms of establishing quality, so here's what really is at root, what's at the debate. And that is, what is the determination of quality? Okay, good. In other words, whenever you have to establish quality, you have to establish first and foremost, what are you measuring? So one is measuring the limbs themselves and the other one's measuring basically the fattiness of each piece, right? Now, like in other words, basically how much flesh you're getting out of each piece. Now what we'll do is the following. We're going to go back now and reinsert the Gemara that we skipped. V'haksiv kol nesach tov yarech v'katef. So the Gemara says, yeah, but we do have a pasuk in Yecheskel that describes that the best pieces of the animal, the best cuts of the animal, yarech v'katef. So the thigh of the animal. So and the thigh of the animal seemingly is not high on the list. So the Gemara's answer is b'hahi b'kusha. Now, that's talking about a very thin animal. So on a very thin animal, so the thigh is the best part. But if it's not a very thin animal, if it's a nice plump animal, so the chaz of shok is going to be better cuts of meat. Okay. Now back to our Gemara. My time is saka regal bahade resha. So the Gemara says, okay, now, why does the regal go up with the head? Mishum deresha nefisha beatzamos. Cover regal bahade. Well, the head obviously is mostly bone. Okay, on Rosh Hashanah, many have the minog. So I do it. And that is eat the head of a sheep. Okay, and so as you know, for those of you who can stomach it, so I'm one of you. So for those of you who know, there's really very little meat on the head. Right? So it's mostly bone. So therefore, to basically supplement that, so coming along with that is going to be the back right leg. The back right leg's got a lot of meat on it. So the kulamamiyas rosh krab bereisha. Now, an observation we made earlier, but now the Gemara is going to spend just a moment with this observation, and that is that the head goes first. Now, minalan, how do I know that the head goes first? So the Tanya we learned in a brayso. Minayin l'rosh hapadosh shekam l'chol ha'evarim. The head together with the fat goes before any of the other evarim. Tamalam es roshav es pidro av arach. Okay, so it's a pasuk. It's, they open up the beginning of Sefer Vayikra, the first parak of Vayikra, and you're going to see that the Torah demands that the head has to go first. Now, the idach padar. Now, the Gemara over here says, okay, as long as we're here in the first parak of Vayikra, so you'll notice a couple of psukim later, so the word padar is repeated. Es anachsachim, the last Rashi in the Amud. Es anachsachim, es arosh v'esa padar. Okay, so fat is repeated later on, and that's open for a drasha. So the Gemara over here gives us the drasha. Now we turn to the top of Chavavam and Aleph. Lamai Asalich Detanya. So it gives us another drasha, which is Ketzad Haya Osa. No sin is a padar. Abesa Shchita. What you're going to do is that you're going to take a thick layer of the fat, and you're going to put it, and you're going to smear it on the Besa Shchita. Meaning, obviously, when you shech the animal, and then you subsequently decapitate the animal, so obviously you have a good chunk of the animal where basically its inside is exposed. And so what we do is that basically a seal of fat right over that opening, umale v'zehu derech kvod shamala, and it's just a more appropriate, respectful way to present the rosh to the top of the mizbeach. It's derech kavod. Okay, adkan. Let's quickly recap. Let's review our daf today. Opening question of today's daf was the question of when the Kohanim are going for that first pious. So how are they dressed? Are they wearing their big dechol, big dekodesh? Machlokes between Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshet. Rav Nachman says they're wearing the big dechol. Rav Sheshet says they're wearing the big dekodesh. The Gemara advances arguments for each of the positions. The Gemara quotes braisas going in each direction. It then ends up as a machlokes between Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshet, how they are dressed for the pious. Interestingly, by the way, the Rambam takes a side on this issue. The Rambam writes, again, I don't have a Rambam in front of me, but the Rambam goes like Rav Sheshet, that they're wearing the big day Kodesh, when in fact they already arrive. Okay, as long as we quoted a couple of Mishnahs, a couple of Braisos, so we learned this morning that the pious itself took place in the Lishkas Agazis, and the Kohanim would be standing there in a circle in the Lishkas Agazis, as would a Zakin as well. Zakin was sitting, the Kohanim were standing, and then what we also learned this morning is that the Lishkas Agazis, in terms of physically where it's located, so somewhere in the perimeter of the Azara. Halachically, so it was bifurcated. And part of the Lishkas Agazis has the status of the Azara, and another part of the Lishkas Agazis has the status of the Harabais. And the Gemara made the arguments in terms of why we know this is true. One of the reasons why we know it's true is because the Zakim was sitting in the Lishkas Agazis, and if the entire Lishkas Agazis was in the Azara, you're not allowed to sit in the Azara. We spent a little bit of time this morning going over Tosos over here on the Amud Aleph. You're not allowed to sit in the Azara with notable exception to the king. So how are the Kohanim sitting and eating the Karbanos in the Azara? And it sounds like the Gemara in Zvachim says that they do sit and eat. How can they do that? Tosos gives three answers to that question. Next mission that we did this morning was describing the second lottery, which I'll call the main lottery simply because most of the jobs were allocated at that second lottery. All the avoda regarding the Karban Tamid Shel Shacharis and also the menorah and the Disha Mizbeach HaPanimi are all established with the second lottery. In terms of marching the limbs of the Karban Tamid up the ramp and subsequently up to the Mizbeach, so the Mishnah tells us that there were five Kohanim involved in that activity, each one holding two parts of the animal in their hands and going up the ramp. The order of the limbs, so the Mishnah spends some time without giving us two opinions on this matter, and the Gemara gives us even more opinions. The lottery, the second lottery, is it one lottery with 13 winners, or is it 13 separate lotteries? Back and forth in the Gemara as we go to the Amud Beis in the review, and the Gemara's conclusion is one lottery with 13 winners. In the Mishnah, there was no winner for the Kabbalah Saddam, which means that some other winner is doing the Kabbalah Saddam. Who's doing the Kabbalah Saddam? The Gemara entertained that it might be the Shochin, it might be the Zarek. The Gemara concludes it's a Zarek with a couple of braces to prove that point as well. The remainder of the daf today went over the order of the limbs as they are marched up the Mizbeach. The Gemara quotes a braisa. Our Mishnah quotes two opinions. The braisa quotes four opinions, and each opinion is really predicated on a different goal, a different purpose in terms of why we are going in the specific order that we're going. And then finally, we concluded today that the head always goes first, regardless of where you stand in terms of your svara, for which are the orders of the animal, but the rosh always goes first. It's based on a pasuk in the beginning of Vayikra. Okay, and we darshaned also another pasuk in the beginning of Vayikra as well, which also says, v'es ha-rosh v'es ha-padar. And why the extra Rosh and why the extra Pater? By the way, I didn't explain that this morning. There's also an extra Rosh as well. Rashi on the top of tomorrow's daf, Chavav Amin Aleph. Maybe I'll go over it quickly tomorrow, in the beginning of tomorrow's daf, in terms of, but the Gemara explained that the extra Pater is that you take the fat of the animal and you line the opening cut of the head, and that's just simply more respectful to do it in that manner.